Hello again.
Hello.
It's good to see you all again. I have a few Bible reading schedules for those who haven't gotten would like them. We're still doing the calendar for the month if anybody wants to get them. Rochelle's been copying them off and running them out and doing the work on it. And it's been good for me yet. So if anybody can use it, it's great. I'm in John 14, which is the New Testament gospel passage today. And if someone's out there who got their Bibles ready or so would like to read a pretty good volume, the first four verses of John 14, that would be great. Go, Messi, go.
Right.
Maybe you want to face the people or something. I don't know. Maybe the voice will...
Okay. Well, where am I reading to again?
You're just reading the first four verses of John 14.
Four. Okay. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going.
All right. That's the way the passage, John 14, starts. And I think it's appropriate because, again, let not your hearts be troubled. Speaks about a troubled world in which we live. Speaks about some of our individual personal struggles that are part of living in different in change, living in change that we have to adjust to whether we like it or not, and then find the confusion in there and somehow find in that order. And Jesus speaks to his disciples who had all the questions, all the things that were part of their life that we have. It may have been a different context in many ways, but they lived in a troubled world. They lived, and the questions being asked were horrendous questions about Roman government, about how do you treat the Romans? How do they treat you? When do you fight them? When do you resist? When do you turn the other cheek? And Jesus comes into the middle of that and says to these words, let not your hearts be troubled. And he tells them that I've got a place prepared for you. And he's saying, I got a future for you. I got a future in it, and I'm preparing this place. I've got to leave. He's been trying to tell them all along he's going to be leaving soon, which they have had trouble hearing in the midst of the troubles they're facing. But in the midst of it, he's also saying, I'm preparing a place for you. I've got something for you personally, for you as a people, as my brothers and friends here, and. So he speaks to the troubles of the world. He speaks to the troubles of that world. He speaks to the troubles of our world. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. And this is one of the themes of John's gospel. If you've been in the gospels of John much at all, you can't miss that theme. It's there throughout. That they may believe. In John 20, at the end of the book, about John writes, and these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that in believing you might have life in his name. And this, again, fits in. This is what John talks about. This is what's important to him. Believing and continuing to believe. Even when you can't believe, believe. Even when you've come to the end of your rope, keep believing. And that's appropriate for us because there's times when we say, where's this all leading to? And sometimes we just get so caught up in what everybody's saying around us and what the world is feeling and experiencing that we lose sight of Jesus being there close and saying, don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. You live in a troubled time. You live in a troubled world. But I have hope and I have something for you that I wouldn't kid you on this one, he says. I wouldn't kid you. I'm not playing games with you. I have a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you have a future. is part of my kingdom. And because you're recognize, you're learning to recognize. He's talking to his disciples. They're a little slow here, just like really slow like we are. He says, I'm not kidding you, but I've got a place prepared for you, and I want you to believe that I'm not telling you anything that you can't believe. And then he goes on with this and says, okay, I will no longer speak to you. Wait, where are we? The wind took my page. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not told so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way to where I am going. So I'm going to take you to myself. It's a very personal, it's to his disciples as a whole, but it's also to individual persons. And now some of those people speak out. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way if we don't know where we're going? And Jesus says to him in that context. And I want to, there's a little ditty I recall. I don't know if I've ever heard it too much, but one place I did this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus says. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no showing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus says. Anyway, that's what Jesus says to his disciples, to Thomas, when he says, how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going, Lord. It's part of their troubled times. It's part of their trying to get a grasp on what's happening. They're trying to hear what he's saying, what's coming next. And they're not picking it up, or they don't want to pick it up, or they can't pick it up, I'm not sure. But into that he speaks. I'm going, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I mean, he says the whole thing. This is the Gospel of John being expressed here. And this is what the rest of the Gospels confirm with the rest of the writers of the gospel. This is what the scriptures, we believe the scriptures to be. Jesus Christ, God through Christ, Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, God in this world, is speaking. Jesus, I am the way. There is no other way to the Father. We are here today because there's a certain exclusivism that draws us here. And the world doesn't like that word, and I understand why, because it's not a nice word in many occasions. Many times we're leaving, and sometimes it's because we're leaving people out when we should be including them. It's not that we're all right, but there is a certain exclusivism that says you need to believe that this Jesus is indeed who he says he is. This is not, I'm not kidding you, Jesus says. I want you to hear this really clearly. I've got a place for you. I have a kingdom. I came. I am the king. And my kingdom is here, and it's going to be completed. I'm preparing a special place, or your special place, for that kingdom. And you got to believe that. You got to believe that. I am the way. There is no other way. It is the way. Without the way, there is no going. I mean, you can go, but it'll go off. You'll drop off the end someplace. This is the true way. This is the way to what you're looking for. This is the way to God the Father. This is the way to your Creator. This is the way to the one who made this world. This is the way to it's the way to God. This is what we're looking for. This is at the heart of what the people that God created are looking for. As Augustine says, everyone we find, we're restless until we find our fulfillment, and we find ourselves, we found ourselves in the Lord, something to that effect. And that's what John is saying here through Jesus. Jesus is the way, And without him, there is no going except in the except into an endless or a drop-off of confusion, of futility. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. The questions that have been asked for years, and the great philosophers have brought that question up time and time again. What is truth? Jesus was talking with Pilate as Pilate was examining him, and Pilate says, "What is truth?" Big deal. What is truth? And Jesus says to him, essentially, that I am the truth. And Jesus is the truth. And in the if we look at the, you got to think also as you read the book of John, and especially this section here, one of the primary reasons that Jesus came is to reveal to us the Father. Now, he came to give us salvation, to die on the cross and forgive us of our sins. He came to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. He came for a lot of other things. But one of the primary things that he came is to show us who the Father is. And this is what's going on here, that the Father is dependable. The Father is true. The Father speaks, and when he speaks, reality comes into play. When he speaks, the world is created. Jesus Christ is the living word. He speaks the word, and it brings action. It brings truth. It's real. He's faithful to what he says. His word, like contrary to so many of us, what we say and what we do is just not connected. It's kind of lost in the shuffle somewhere. But in Jesus, word and action is true. And Jesus says, that's who I am. And when he died on the cross, that's what he did. He put it together. He spoke and he did it in front of us, for us. Showed it to Jesus says, I am the truth. And finally he says, I am the life. And without the life there is no showing. This passage also is talking about that if we've got something to show, if we've got something to give, we want it to be good stuff. We want it to be real. We want it to be the right stuff. And he's saying that if you have the life of Christ living within you, then you have something to show. He says at another time something about that we do good works, that others may see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. The show is not that we're putting up something that is us. It's not how great we are, how wonderful we are, how right we do things, how good we are. It's letting Jesus be seen in us. It's showing Jesus. It's showing who God is, because his life is in us. And when Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world, he's speaking because Jesus is living there. Then we are the light of the world. And the focus is, again, on God. In other words, again, even as Jesus reveals the Father to us, we are also to be revealing Christ through us and ultimately the Father. That's who we are. That's our purpose. So the way, the truth, and the life really pictures the whole, a big, big part of what the scriptures talk about when we talk about Christ, when we talk about what we believe. And no one comes to the Father except through me, he says. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know me, or you know him, because you've seen him. From now on, you do know him and have seen him, because you've seen Jesus. He's saying this to Thomas. Thomas, you just have to look at me, and you will see the Father, because I and the Father are one. So then now Philip comes along. Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. I mean, Jesus has just gone through this thing with Thomas. And it sounds like it's the same question almost in a little different form. You know, just show us the Father. Come on, don't give us all that double talk. Well, Jesus is not giving double talk. He's speaking truth. But for some reason or other, those disciples keep getting it confused. They don't quite follow. Well, you can't be saying that. How can you be caught? And there's good reason, though, for them to be caught, because they came from Judaism. They came out of a background where there's one God, and that was one of, at the core of the Jewish faith was there's one God, and the Shema, hear, O Israel, there's one God. And so in the context of that, they look at Jesus and they see this man, and he's great and he's wonderful, and they can't believe all they're hearing about him. And yet, how can he be one with God? How can he be? Well, because what Jesus is coming through with is that I and the Father are one. He's saying, I'm God. So we, in order not to be too hard on the disciples, I mean, we have to struggle. I mean, we have to struggle with that too, because we are talking about one God. We're not talking about a whole pantheon of gods. And the world has all kinds of gods. We're talking about one God. And how God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are all together in one is a mystery. But it is vital to our faith. It is a part of who we are. It is a part of what the Scriptures teach us. And Jesus is saying, if you see me, you see the Father. Have I been with you so long, he says, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Now, Jesus is a couple times he mentions the Father does his works. He's saying the Father is doing the works. What you see, the manifestations, the miracles, and the stuff that comes from Jesus, the Father is working in Jesus to do the works. And they're there in God's people. And we can say, I don't believe in miracles, I don't believe in this and that and the other thing, but at the core of who Jesus is and what he's passed on to us, somehow we are the people who do believe in God's manifesting himself in his people. And how that looks and what that looks like, I don't want to get into a lot of arguments, because I know that it's a struggle as we deal with praying for people to be healed and praying for people for this. And Jesus just seemed to do it at the snap of his fingers or whatever, it just flowed from him. And why can't we have that? And for others, sometimes we hear others who say they have seen that happen. And we say, yeah, but maybe you're just putting on a show. I mean, we go through all this stuff. But I'm saying, don't discount it. We do have to be discerning of what's going on. We do have to ask the questions and say, is this of God? Is this truly of God? But we can't afford to just say, and it goes on. Jesus goes on to the end of this chapter, to this section. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. You know what I'm, you know, look at the works. Look at the miracles. Look at what you see. What am I doing? Am I doing right? Is this good stuff or is this evil stuff? Is this not of God? Is this something of Satan? And they tried to turn that around. He does a belt. He's doing all these works because of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus said, how can you do that? You got to come to discern what God's doing and what God is not of God. You got to learn, and you got to be looking for that, not looking for how you can disprove it. You got to believe that somehow God is doing works in our lives that are changing other people's lives as well as ours being changed in the process. You've got to continue to, John is saying that, and the gospel is saying, Jesus is saying that. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. He's saying it. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. The church is here to do the works of God, the works of Jesus on this earth. And I'm not sure how to put that all together. But I believe that many of the hospitals and places of care and concern that have developed throughout history, educational institutions and so on, that have been created because God moved in people's lives so that people could take seriously to learn more about Jesus. And all these things have been a part of Christian history and so on. And we're still living in times in which God is working through his people, and things are happening to bring forth Christ in a way that people can say, yes, that is Jesus. That's Christ. That's God in our midst. And we need to be expectant. We need to anticipate rather than live in doubt and spend most of our time doubting. We can make mistakes. I mean, we are people of forgiveness. We can make mistakes. But don't get in a point where we can't see what God's doing because he's not doing it the way we think he should be doing it, or because it doesn't look right, or it could be somebody playing games with us, and it could be. But believe, want to see what God's doing, and don't quit praying for people. Don't quit praying. That's what I'm trying to get the words all jumbled sometimes. Anyway. And then Jesus finishes with this list, the section with this. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. There's no way you can, you've got to hear that. This is what he's saying to his disciples. And I need that, because I've seen people who were healed. I haven't seen a lot that I could say was a miracle, but I have seen people's lives change over processes of time. I've seen the work of the gospel in people's lives, and I do believe God changes our lives. And I believe we got to believe that if Jesus says, I'll do it, he means it. He's not a liar. He's saying, I'm the truth. You can't just turn it off. But you got to let him teach you, and let us be taught together where that truth is, and to praise God for it, and continue to seek. Continue to believe. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for coming to this earth in Christ, your Son. Thank you for living with us by your Holy Spirit and pointing us to Jesus every day. Father, we exalt you. You are the Lord. We praise you. Thank you. Amen.